You're listening to Wellness Wednesdays on West Limerick Community Radio, kindly sponsored by West Limerick Mental Health Association. Now, welcome to another Wellness Wednesday, and today I'm joined in studio by a live one. I'm very often talking to people on the phone for Wellness Wednesday. Sean Donal O'Shea, welcome to the programme. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you very much for having me.
Now, we spoke quite recently on The Exchange. We were talking about the memory walk, but I suppose I thought it might be nice to invite you on to talk about living well with memory loss, living well with dementia, because we said that we would talk about that, but Yes. We didn't kind of have time within the slot that we had on The Exchange.
Yeah, and I suppose I'm just absolutely delighted to have the opportunity, because when we talk about living, when people hear the term dementia, it's often the negative thoughts that come to head. And of course, look at it, I've personal experience with it as well. My mother lived with dementia, and I use the term living with dementia, because a person living with dementia, because you're a person first. But it's also for the carer. You know,
because the carer is very often a family member, and a daughter or a husband or a wife, more so than they would like to be considered a carer.
That's it, you see, and it's a change in roles often as well.
Yes.
Like, I suppose for myself, I became my mother's carer after my mother cared for me all my life.
That's
you know,
it.
I was a kind of young lad. I think even when I was 18, my mother was going to the dentist with me.
Yes.
You know, that kind of way.
Yes.
And then I became her carer. And I suppose when we're talking about wellness, you're trying to mind the person you're caring for, and you neglect yourself.
But it's true. Like, I know that it's an adage that we often hear, that you can't keep pouring from an empty cup. Like, you have to practice self-care if you want to care for somebody else.
100%. And in my role now as a dementia advisor, you know, I'd be speaking with family carers as often as people living with dementia. And I can just see myself in them so much, and
carers,
the mistakes that I made.
Carers are also people who live with dementia.
Absolutely,
you know, that
100%.
They live with it in their lives.
They live with it. And often in some stages of, I suppose, as the dementia progresses, it's often harder on the carer. And as well, you know, it doesn't matter how big a family is or how small a family is, it often lands on one carer.
Yes.
You know, and you'd have family members saying, you know, oh, my brother or my sister can look after mom and dad, you know, and maybe saying, oh, they're getting carer's allowance.
Yes.
Carer's allowance is nothing. We have to recognise that it's a payment, but, you know, it's 24/7. It's, you know,
it's not a payment for the work you do as a carer.
Not in the slightest, you know. And when I say it's 24/7, it is 24/7.
Yes.
You know, and I often laugh, because if my mother has passed away, but if she, I remember when I was caring, and she'd kill me if she knew I was telling the story, but the only way I could fall asleep at night was when I could hear her snoring.
Yes.
Because I knew she was asleep.
Yes.
And then I could relax.
And you knew that you didn't have to be switched on, you didn't have to be vigilant.
You're sleeping with one eye open, you know, because
yes.
It can be extremely difficult. You know, people can, my mother could get up and go for a walk at night, you know, or be confused about where she was, you know, or, you know, maybe have night terrors, and you have to be there for that as well.
Yes.
And then it's affecting the person, the carer as well. You know,
of course, because if you don't sleep well, then you're not on form the
next
day. You're not
exactly
as vigilant or maybe as patient as you might be.
And that's it. And one of the biggest learnings that I ever got, and one of the things that I feel when I'm passing on to other carers, is, you know, it's okay to be angry.
Yes.
You know, especially when I was caring for mom. You know, you might be having a bad day anyway,
yes,
or you might be having a grand day, but life in general is tough. And, you know, mom might have asked me the same question 10 or 15 times, and I might say, mom, I've told you 10 times, you know,
yes,
are you not hearing me? And, you know, it was later on that night when I'd be down in bed that I'd feel guilty,
yes,
about being angry.
But I suppose to channel your anger towards the dementia rather than the person, because the person is not choosing to make you
they're not. But I suppose what was, like, one a person that was supporting us at home, you know, she said to me, it's perfectly normal. If your mom didn't have dementia, you'd get angry.
Yes.
You know, but it was like a big weight was lifted off my shoulder, because I was saying, well, it's okay to be angry.
Yeah,
it's normal.
You're normal, not the only person who's ever
done
this.
But I suppose when it gets to a stage that it's too much, that's when you need to look for help. But I suppose, I used to go down to bed at night crying because I asked mom, like, how many times do I have to tell you something?
Yes.
Well, she didn't take any notice of it.
Because,
you know,
she didn't remember the first 10 times.
No, and she, like, And I was internalizing stuff a lot more than anybody was, you know. So it's just so important to care for yourself as well in those ways, because I could come up in from the bedroom the following morning, I could be in bits, but outwards I was perfect and I was handling it all.
Yes.
You know, so it's
challenging, isn't
it's
it?
It's extremely challenging, but we need help.
We do need help, and I suppose we need to help the people who have dementia to live the best version of their lives that they're still able to
do. Absolutely, because people living with dementia are absolutely the most resilient, smart, well-able people that I have the privilege of meeting. You know, my mother, I could ask her 20 questions or 100 questions and she'd have three answers that would answer them perfectly. You know, yes. She just was so good. But as well, I suppose when my mother got diagnosed, I think there was a she recognised it and she said, I'm living my life.
Yes.
You know, and of course, you know, dementia is a progressive illness. There's no cure. But we can help slow it down.
Yes.
You know, by going for walks. My mother loved listening to music, doing puzzles, and just getting out and being social. And I suppose particularly now, coming hopefully out of the other side of COVID.
That's
you know,
it. We can be social again. I mean, it was tremendously difficult for, it was tremendously difficult for everybody
for
during
everybody,
the pandemic, but more so, I think, for people with dementia in their lives, the carers and
yes,
the people.
Because, you know, and I definitely, and I've seen that this in my line of work, you know, the people living with dementia, you know, where maybe they were going to day centres, going out to social clubs.
That's it.
Stopped it and haven't returned.
Because routine is essential.
Essential. It's absolutely essential.
And when routine is removed, it's very
it's like all of us, you know, when we're out of our routine. And as you said, it's for the carer as well. And because the smaller the person living with dementia's world becomes, the smaller the carer's world becomes.
Yes.
You know, they stop going out. And again, I spoke about guilt earlier. If, like, for instance, I used to love going to, and I still do, going to J matches.
Yes.
And when I was caring for Mom, if I went to a match, sure, you know, anything could be happening on the field. I, in my head, I was saying, I wonder, is Mom okay?
That's it. You don't get to enjoy
no,
your
No, but you feel guilty as well.
You're always thinking about what's going on at home.
Yeah, and you're saying, God, what kind of a son am I out to be at a match and Mom's at home?
Yes.
And then you stop going. And then people stop asking you to go.
Yes.
You know, and the general public, it's very hard for them to understand for a person living with dementia, you know, or the carer, because what I would have seen is, you know, a neighbour might call in and they'd see Mom for 20 minutes and they could be going out the road, say, geez, Debbie was fine today, you know, but that's 20 minutes.
20 minutes out of the whole day.
Out of the whole day. But if they call the following day for 20 minutes, they might see the exact same conversation and then start realising.
Or if they call later in the afternoon for 20 minutes, they might see a very different person.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it is quite difficult, but I suppose my whole thing is to say, you know, it is very difficult, but it doesn't have to be as difficult as it is. You
yes.
know, if we look for help, reach out and get the support. And by no means have we enough support in any county in the country. There's not one tenth of the amount, not even close to it. You know, the carers aren't getting their recognition. So, you know, when you've like sort of home helps coming, they're not getting their recognition they deserve either, you know.
Yes.
But it's about empowering the person living with dementia, you know, to take control of their life and to do what they can do safely, you know.
Yes.
And I often talk about we can overcare sometimes.
Absolutely. If somebody is able to do something, then they should be, you know, like I'm thinking in terms of like ordinary household tasks.
Absolutely.
Like if somebody can help making the dinner, if somebody can help by peeling the potatoes, then they should be doing it.
And that, it's like you're reading my mind and you've seen what, you know, because that was something that we would have done a lot at
yes.
home, because Mom used to always prepare the dinner. And then as the dementia progressed,
obviously you can't with cooking and
yeah. And as Alzheimer's disease Mom had, and as that progressed, you know, maybe she wasn't able to peel the carrots, you know, but then I used to get her up and watch me doing it.
Yes.
And we're human beings, we want to be needed.
That's
you know,
it.
Whatever, like even in my role, as hard as it is, I get great satisfaction out of helping a family. And
yes.
it is selfish in a way, but it helps me and I feel good at the end of the day. But imagine if I had nothing to get up for.
That's
or
it.
Do it. And like when I'm speaking with families, I often say, you know, people living with dementia and their families, I'd say, do you ever have a lazy day? And, you know, we've all had a lazy day every so often. And you feel useless at the end of the day, saying, God, I wasted a day.
I did nothing, yeah.
You know, imagine if
when
you came down in the morning and your breakfast was made for you and somebody, you know, you were getting up to get a cup of tea and somebody said, I'll put on the kettle. You know.
Yeah, you see, but it's an instinctive thing, isn't it? Because
absolutely.
You think you can do it more safely, you can do it more quickly.
And it's from
caring. Yeah, but that's not the point, though.
It's not the point. And it's, you know, it's when we're talking about dementia as an illness, you know, so it, you know, we talk about the man flu or the flu, or if, yes, we had, if I had the flu at home, it's a different thing if my wife is making the cup of tea and
well,
all that.
Because you know that man flu will be gone.
Yes.
Well, it's man flu, so it'll probably last a fortnight. But,
no, it's 5 to 6 weeks, I think, actually.
But, you know, it's not progressive. It's not ongoing.
It.
Like, so it's nice for somebody to care for you in that sense. Like, it's nice to have things handed to you. But when something is not going to get better, it's very debilitating and dehumanizing for somebody, isn't it?
And the brain is a muscle, you know, like anything else. And I say, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yes.
And like when I'm speaking to families, they go, what if mom or dad made the tea wrong? Who cares?
Who cares? Make it
you
again.
Know?
It's not.
Yeah,
it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. And like I know so many people living with dementia that are so well able.
Yeah, you well, know, they, you know, they there are tasks that they are able for and that they enjoy doing, and
they're
they
more
be
able,
doing them.
And are absolutely more able. And often, and I'm using dementia as an umbrella term here,
sure,
you know, because there's different types of dementia. But you know, often it's the hardest memory to access is the short term memory.
Yes.
So today or yesterday, but the long term memory is often
so easily accessible. They're so well able to do things that they've always done.
Yeah, and chat about things. So meet the person where they're at.
Yes.
You know. Don't say, do you remember yesterday, Mom? I told you. Don't, you know. But it's hard, again, for a family member when somebody's newly diagnosed or not even diagnosed. You know,
yes,
hindsight is a great thing, and I fell foul to that myself,
yes,
you know, thinking.
But it's
back.
Very difficult, I think, because these are very often role models in our lives.
Absolutely.
That we go to for advice.
Absolutely, you know, and one, like, again, I suppose we're talking about wellness, and I'm an expert as a carer.
Yes.
I'm not an expert as a person living with dementia, but I'm an expert for caring for somebody living with dementia. And I, you know, remember I used to get very down at times, as you would, you know, because you're dealing with a loss that's very ambiguous.
Yes.
You know, it's not a straightforward loss. Say, for example, if I went out and I got knocked down by a car and I got killed.
Yes.
It's very linear.
Yes,
you know,
you're gone.
You're gone. There's the wake. Here we go. Sympathise with the family.
But with dementia, you're still there.
You're still there. But
you're not the same person that you used to be.
Well, it's the long goodbye. And it's very hard to talk about it as well, especially with families. But for example, you know, we dealt with losses along the way. You know, sometimes mom lost her speech.
Yes.
You know, lost the ability to give the kiss on the cheek.
Yes.
But even before that, it was losing memories. And trying to explain that to somebody who isn't in your situation is very hard. And it's hard to grieve in when nobody understands it. And
sure,
you're constantly grieving. But you're grieving without realizing it because you're in the role.
Yes.
And you're on to the next step. Without realizing, you know, and it's the same person that is always there, but it's just trying to.
It's a difficult process, isn't it?
It is, and look, I remember when Mom got diagnosed, I didn't even know what Alzheimer's disease was, you
yes.
know, and especially when I'd be looking at people now and speaking to people now, how would they know unless it visits you?
Yes.
You know, it's very hard
to. You should be very lucky not to know.
Yeah. Absolutely, but sometimes I even feel guilty in my role now because. My experience with Mom, I wouldn't have had my, I was a block layer.
Yes.
You know, and I went to college at 28 because I seen, well, you know, this is, I suppose, people living with dementia need assistance, you know, they're
yes.
so well able. And now I'm a dementia advisor, so without my experience, God only knows where I'd be now.
You wouldn't be here now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's fair to say that dementia brought something positive to your life as well.
Yeah. And I think when I'm speaking with family members and people living with dementia, you know, I'm not giving them lip service.
Yes.
You know,
you've been there.
I've been there, but my experience.
Like ticking things off a list.
That's
because
it.
You can't tick things off because everybody is different and everybody's version of dementia is different.
And that's it. And that's exactly it. As you hit the nail on the head. My experience is my experience. You could have 1,000 people in the room here with us now with the exact same diagnosis on the exact same date and they're the exact same age and 1,000 different voices. And that's
yes.
it. But it's about, you know, I suppose trying to reduce the stigma around dementia
yes.
as well because. There is a stigma. You know, if you Google dementia now, you'll get a picture of the older person in a nursing home with a nurse holding their hand nearly.
Yes.
You know, and dementia is not a normal part of aging. You know, the older you get, the more likely you are to have it. But, you know, I have clients that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 100. You know?
Yeah.
And it's about, I suppose, the old perception around dementia was extremely negative and it was a it was a biomedical model, so sure. Everything was medication. And medication has, you know, it has benefits. But what we're saying now is the social side of things. You know,
yes.
Get out, go for a walk, for a care, for a person with dementia.
Oh, yeah, meet people, get out of the
get
house.
Out, get out, go for your walks, you know. Yeah. Listen to music, do what you used to do as long as you can do it.
So I suppose those would be your guides towards living well with dementia then, is to have a routine, but have a routine filled with variety and filled with things that you enjoy doing.
Would you enjoy, and that's it, because, and I'll just give you a lovely story that I was working with a family not far from here and doing their very best. Their father was living with dementia and they wanted to get him interested in things, and they rang me and we were chatting on the phone. I'd met them before and they said, "We got Dad 3 calves." And they said, "But he's showing no interest. He's absolutely showing no interest." And I said, "And I said, your dad never farmed." And they said, no, but we thought it." And it was coming from such a good place.
Yeah.
And Dad was an architect.
Yeah.
So I said, "Do you know, anybody building a house?" So there was a nephew there was building a house down the road. I said, "Just bring up the plans."
Yeah.
And Dad had a look at them and Dad said, "Oh, that stairs is going to cause you trouble where it is." And they kind of raised their eyes, they said, and brought the plans back to the original
guy.
And they just pointed out to him and he said, "Oh my God, your father's right."
because
that was his long-term memory there as well. He knew what he was talking about.
Yeah.
The joy that brought him. You know, and imagine, I suppose, when you see people coming, I suppose, a lot of people living with dementia, they're afraid to go out, maybe because if I go out and people start asking me things that I don't know about, you know, I'm slow to...
That's exactly it.
If I don't say anything, I won't make a mistake.
Yeah.
But if somebody came in talking to that man about building houses, well, my God, wouldn't he...
Yeah.
Talking and the joy that he got out of it. And the family, and every week now they go on Daft,
yes,
and check houses in the area, and they look at the plans,
and they bring them.
It's working for them.
Oh yeah,
but they wouldn't have known that unless they made the mistake.
There you go.
So, like,
you have to go wrong sometimes to go right.
Yeah, like you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
That's exactly it. It's been great chatting to you, Sean Donnell. And I suppose, you know, hopefully a ray of light for people out there who are living with dementia or living with others who are living with dementia. You know,
Absolutely. That's
and you know, help is available.
Help is available, and whether it's just a talk, because every community, you know, there's. Our statistics are showing, I think there's 2,165 in Limerick.
Yes.
Double that. You can double that, in my opinion, because, you know, that's people who've been diagnosed, and that's from the last time the statistics were you know, and
But there are people receiving this diagnosis every day of every week.
Every single day. I think it's 11 people a day.
Yeah, there you
know,
go.
And, you know, we just need to help each other.
Yes.
Because I can guarantee you, whoever's listening to this, whatever house they're in, if you go outside your door and throw a stone, you're not going to be too far, it won't land too far away from a house with somebody in the exact same situation.
That's it. And we need to just remember to care for the carers as well.
That's exactly it. Yeah, yeah. And help each other out.
That's it. Now, I always ask people to pick a positive piece of music, a sing-along song, or a toe-tapping tune on Wellness Wednesday. What did you pick for us?
I picked, and it's funny, Dire Straits, The Walk of Life, because it's one of my earliest memories of my mom dancing around the house at home to this tune. And it just always brings great memories.
Listening to Wellness Wednesdays on West Limerick Community Radio, kindly sponsored by West Limerick Mental Health Association. Until next time, take care and be kind to your mind.